tell them to go to my webpage, which is fathertj.com. So, you're here because we're talking about vocations. Primary vocation for everybody in life. The number one thing that God asks everybody in life to do, his call that he places on our heart is holiness. Every single one of us in this room is called to holiness. We are all called to holiness because God wants us to spend eternity where? In heaven with him for the rest of eternity. We're called in different ways. Some of us are called to serve him as priests, sisters, deacons, nuns, married people, single people. There's lots of different ways that God calls us. I want to talk about my call. And that's the call to priesthood. And hopefully by hearing my story, seems really loud in here with the other groups, huh? Man, all right, I'll try to talk over them. Anyway, I'm going to tell my story and I'm going to talk about how I became a priest. And hopefully it'll help you in your call to holiness to follow the Lord in whatever it is that he's calling you to do. I want to start by telling a story. This is a true story. I am not creative enough to make it up. This is the way I was called. I was invited for something. One day I was celebrating Mass at one of the Catholic schools in the area. I got done celebrating Mass, and this is what my car looked like. Catholic priest, right? What does that say? Prom, please, right? And do you think that was the only window that was painted on? Not if they wanted this person to go to prom with them, it wasn't. Side window, the date of the prom, April the 15th. Back window, my girlfriend thinks I'm cute, and I am. Okay, when I saw this, I said, I cannot drive this car. I cannot be in this car. It has a little heart here on the passenger seat. Oh, it's so cute. Yes, ma'am? Who did it? We'll talk about that in a minute. Who is it in the car? Oh, yeah, that's a good part of the story. That's the person who actually painted on the car. That's they were doing that when they were showing their work. I said, hey, so anyway, so we'll get to the more of that story later. All right, so then I get to the front of the window, and guess what? I realized it wasn't for me. So I got to the front of the car, and I was crushed. Somebody invited me to prom, but really, not really. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. So here it is. Claire loves Ivan. It's got a big cloud. Now, we have a very special guest today that is with us. We have our friend Claire, who actually is here in the room with us. So Claire was here. And she was actually intending to invite her boyfriend, Ivan, to the prom. So while Mass was going on, she had her henchmen do the painting. And then the one girl that took the picture, she was the one that was actually putting all the paint on the car. So guess how I was feeling? I was pretty upset. I was just a little bit upset, right? Just a touch mad, right? Because I knew I was going to have to clean this up before I went home. There's no way a Catholic priest could drive this kind of car, right? Not a good thing at all. So I'm stewing. I'm mad. I'm upset. I'm like, God, what is happening here? And then this young man walks by. This is Ivan. Ivan was the intended target of this invitation, right? And so I'm with a friend of mine, and he's laughing. He's taking these Facebook pictures. Click, click, click. Yes, ma'am. On top, there was some more frilly invitations on there. Yeah, but my sunroof got painted on too. So my friend is with me, and he says, hey, sir, do you know Claire or Ivan? And he stops, and he's like, I'm Ivan. And he said, well, come over here because we got something for you. And so we knew it was intended for him. And then my friend starts laughing. And he looks at Ivan and he says, ha, your girlfriend just invited Father TJ to the prom. I didn't think it was funny because I knew I was going to clean it up. So what I did is I went back into the school and I said, can you call Claire down to the office to clean it up? And the secretary said, she's in class right now. She can't be bothered, but I'll get the maintenance guys to help you. Right? So the maintenance guy comes out and he's got this little bitty spray bottle. It's probably about the size of that Ozarka bottle and one paper towel. And he looks at my car and he's like, I gotta go get some more paper towels. So he drives off. The guy who's the security guard for the school comes out. And he sees that I'm not very happy. And he says, Father, is everything okay? And I said, no. Somebody just did this to my car. And then he says, he did a little face palm. He really did a face palm. He said, oh, I saw them do that. And you didn't stop him? Like, my car is a priest car. It's got vestments in it and liturgical books in the back seat. How did they miss that? Well, actually, Ivan's car was exactly the same as mine, right? He drove a 2000 Civic as well. So I could see how they mess it up. Anyway, so the police officer, he's feeling bad, so he helps me clean up. The maintenance guy comes back with a full roll of paper towels. The buddy of mine who's taking all of these pictures is laughing the whole time. He's helping me clean it up. I'm cleaning it up. It took us four adults 20 minutes to clean up all of the paint that was on the car. Hey, good job. Your friends did a great job with the invitation, by the way. So 20 minutes, I'm scrubbing this paint off the car, scrubbing, trying to get it off. The more that I'm scrubbing, the more that I'm working, the more I'm sweating, the more I'm realizing I got to get back to the parish because I had a meeting. So I'm driving back to the parish. I'm calling. I'm saying, I'm sorry. I had an accident in my car. And they're like, Father, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I just got all this paint on my anyway. So, and as I'm driving home, I'm getting more angry and more angry and more angry. How could somebody do this to my car? How could somebody let this happen? There's a security guard that's paid by the school to make sure this stuff doesn't happen. I was pretty upset. I was pretty mad because my car had been vandalized. That's what I said at the time, vandalized. It reminds me of ways we are called in life. Sometimes we're called and we say, no, thank you. Sometimes we're called to do something and we say, no, I don't want to do that. Let's look at people in history and how they've responded to an invitation. God's placed that call in our hearts. God said, this is how I want you to follow me. How about the Pharaoh? Do you guys remember the Pharaoh from the Exodus story? What did the Pharaoh do? What did the Pharaoh do? Moses said, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said what? No, they're not going. And then God sends the 10 plagues, right? And Pharaoh still says no. And finally, the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And then Pharaoh says, yeah, that's fine. Y'all go ahead and go. And then he said what? He said, psych. Not right, and he went after him. And while they were passing through the Red Sea, God parted the sea so the Israelites could pass through. Pharaoh and his men go after him. The waters come back, wipes them all out. Pharaoh could have responded to the invitation of God and said, you know what? I'm going to listen to you, Lord, and I'm going to follow you. But he didn't do that. Instead, he did what he wanted to do. How about another group of people throughout history? The Israelites. How have the Israelites were called to service to God? God said, follow me. You're my children. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give you the laws and commandments. I'm going to invite you to follow me. The Israelites, time and time again, did not do that. They sinned. They turned against God. And one of the worst ways that they turned against God was they said, God, we don't want to worship you. We want to worship a golden calf. Oh, golden calf. Oh. The Israelites could have responded to God with love, but they did not. Another example of somebody responding, maybe not a favorable way. Does anybody know what this is a picture of? Who? A party. Yeah, that's right. This guy in the middle, Mark Cuban, you might recognize him from Shark Tank. He's also the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, right? He invited Chandler Parsons to play for his team for $46 million. The Rockets all they had to say was, yes, we will pay that money. Did they? Nope, they did not. So Chandler Parsons playing for who now? The Dallas Mavericks. Oh well. Sometimes even non-religious people, not associated with the Bible, make decisions and not follow the Lord. How about people that do follow the Lord? How about people who do follow the Lord? How about Mary? Best example. Best example of love of Mary when the angel appears to her and says, Mary, God has a special favor for you. Mary could have been like me. Mary could have said, no way, I don't have time for this. This is such an inconvenience. I'm not going to be your... She could have. But how did she respond? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will. Mary raised Jesus. She gave birth to him. She was there for the toughest moments of his growing up. She was there for his first miracle. She was there the day that her son died. She was there because she wanted to follow the Lord. Another example of holy men and women throughout history, the saints. This is a great picture that I found on the internet of a whole bunch of saints. Maybe if you look closely, you can find the patron saint at your church. But all of these holy men and women, They answered the Lord. They served him. They said, yes, Lord, I will follow after you. Several of them probably at times in their life said, no, I don't know, Lord. Some of the great saints that we have, the St. Augustines, said no for a while. But God continued to work on their heart. God continued to touch them. God continued to invite them. The saints are examples to us of people that embrace the call of the Lord. To say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will come after you. I will be your servant. All of us are called to be saints, right? Because saints are everybody who's in heaven. God places that call in each and every one of our hearts. And we can, if we want, we can respond like I did to that prom invitation and say, no way, that's not what I want to do. Or we can follow the example of the saints and follow their love and follow the ways that our God is calling us to be holy. And another great example of what it means to open up our heart is to follow the example of Jesus, who says, come. Come, follow me. All of us are called to follow our Lord Jesus. All of us are called to receive His grace, His mercy, His love, because our God is full of love for us. And He desires us to follow after Him. I want to tell a little bit about my story, about how I answered the call to serve the Lord. You know, I mentioned earlier about we are all called to holiness, right? Does anybody disagree with that? Does anybody say, no, I don't want to be holy? No, we all called to holiness. Now the question is, how are we going to respond to that call of holiness? What is God going to place on our hearts? And how can we best follow Him? How we can best serve Him? I'm going to tell you my story of what I did, of what I chose to do to follow the Lord, to follow His love. This is my story, and this is how I answered the call of holiness in my life. I decided to be a priest because I felt the best way that I could be holy and the best way that I could share holiness was with the journey that I ended up taking. I was born in the late 70s in Port Arthur, Texas. It's a little town about 90 miles west of here. I moved to Houston. This was the first home that we lived in when I was in Houston. I am this young lad here, right? I was 3 years old, I think. And this is my brother. He was a couple of years younger than I am. So this picture was taken around the time that I realized that maybe something was a little bit different. Maybe something was a little bit different in the way that God had created me to be His son. When I was about this age, my parents realized that my brother was a holy terror. Do you know what that is? That's like the little kids that are screaming and crying and whining all the time at Mass. My brother was one of those kids. So what happened was my parents said, okay, well, we can't go to the church where we're going because there's no cry room. So we got to make a plan. We got to make a secondary plan. So what my parents decided to do was that my mom would stay home with my brother on Saturday nights, and my dad would go to Mass Saturday night. And then on Sunday morning, they'd switch, and dad would stay home with my brother, and mom would go to Mass. And then my parents said, all right, TJ, you have a choice. You can either stay home with both of us in the evenings, or you can pick one of us to go to Mass with. You know what I said? I want to go to both. 3 years old, I was going to church twice a weekend. Does that seem crazy to anybody else? Looking back on my life, I realized that was crazy. Like, what three-year-old in his right mind would say, yeah, I'm going to go to Mass twice a weekend? Does anybody else go to Mass more than once a weekend? I do that now as a priest. Okay, do y'all go to Mass more than once a weekend? Because you're serving, and why would you? Yeah, sure. You serve at multiple Masses, so you would go to more than one Mass. Anybody else? Because you're serving, part of a ministry? Because you want to go to Mass more than once a week? Both. All right, so here's the deal, guys. If that's on your heart, if you go to Mass multiple times a week, you might be called to give your life in service to God. Because that's what I was. I was going to Mass twice a weekend. So what I'm saying is, if you are going to Mass multiple times in a weekend, be open. Be open to the call to follow Him. Be open to the call to serve. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I knew I wanted to go to Mass because I loved being there. There was something about being at church. There was something about the peace and the joy and the love that I would receive by being at church. And I wanted to be there, and I wanted to share in the prayer that people were doing. And going twice a weekend, I thought that was so cool. because I got to see a lot of people. I got to see a lot of cool things that were going on, right, in life. And so going to church, going to Mass was something exciting. I remember being 3 or 4 years old and thinking, I can't wait to receive First Holy Communion. Well, a couple of years later, I got that opportunity. I got to receive my First Holy Communion. Aww. That's me when I was 7 years old, praying there in the chapel at the church where I was receiving my First Communion. I was so excited that day, May 23rd, 1986, being able to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity for the very first time. When I received First Communion, I realized that there was more that I wanted to do. All right, now I'm receiving Communion. What's the next step? What do I do next? And then the next step was being an altar server. How many of you have been altar servers? Oh, that's awesome, guys. That's a lot of you. I wanted to be an altar server because I wanted to be close to the action. Like, you got to be there and you get to hold the book for the priest. You get to wash his hands. You get to follow him around. You get to lead him in procession and carry the cross into the church. I was so excited to be able to do that. So as soon as I could become an altar server, I became an altar server. And I was one of these altar servers. Maybe you know this kind of altar server. He's the altar server that's like a superhero. He's kind of like Superman, you know, but he's an altar server. And he's the altar server that will be there all the time. Not real proud of this story now, but it's funny looking back. We had a rule in my church when I became an altar server that you had to be at Mass at least 15 minutes before Mass. If you weren't there at least 15 minutes before Mass, somebody else could take your place. So you know what I would do? I would get to Mass 30 minutes early. I would vest, and if people would show up after 15 minutes, right? They would come in, it's like 5 minutes before Mass, I'm sorry, you're late. They would come in 14 minutes before Mass, and I say, hey, look, sorry, rule's a rule, it's 9:20, you're supposed to be here, right? That's not real proud of that now, but I was like a super server, because I was always there, I was always wanting to serve, I always wanted to be there. I wanted to be there to be present to the Lord's love and to be able to celebrate the wonderful mysteries of faith. So when I got to be about this age was the first time that I thought about being a priest. This is me. Right here. It's my uncle. This was his wedding. So he got married when I was probably 11 years old. So when I was about this age, I was serving Mass. Came time for the washing of the hands. You guys know the washing of the hands part? Priest comes over, gets his hands washed. Right? I had to go pick up the pitcher. Well, I was serving in a church where the pitcher was silver, so you couldn't see inside. I pick up the pitcher, and guess what? Dun, dun, dun. It was empty. So I go over to the priest, and I carry the empty pitcher, and I'm looking around like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? And I said, Father, we don't have any water in here. And he did this. What do you mean there's no water? Well, how am I supposed to wash my hands when there's no water? It's like, dude, whoa, why are you yelling at me? What do you want me to do? And he says, oh, would you just pretend? And this voice in the back of my mind said, hey, if you're ever going to be a priest, you're never, ever, ever going to yell at your altar servers like that. So it was weird. It's like, where did that come from? Hey, but you know what's funny about that story? Because now that I'm a priest, God places all these servers in my life that makes me want to yell at them. And I have to remember, no, don't, you can't, don't yell at them. Don't you, because you got mad, remember? So it's a promise I made to God. So I'm trying not to yell at altar servers. Try not to yell at altar servers. But that was the first time I was 11 years old and this thought comes in my mind, if I'm ever a priest, if I'm ever a priest, if I'm ever a priest. And it was like one of those calls. It's like one of those pieces of gum you get stuck on your shoe. You ever had that happen? Like you try to get it off and no, oh man, it won't come off, and you get your other shoe on and it gets stuck on that shoe, right? That's kind of how that call was starting to develop in my head. I'm like, get around, what am I thinking? If I'm ever a priest, if I'm ever a priest. It was kind of like when I was invited to prom. I was like, no, I don't want to listen to, no, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to do that. But you know what happened? The older I got, the more frequent that call came on my heart. We had a priest when I was in high school. And let me show you a high school picture. You guys want to see a high school picture of me? Ready? This is awesome. 90s. Remember, this is 90s. Boom! Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Back in the 90s, man, the rec specs, the goggles, man, that was the thing. And the shoes, I don't know if you can see, these are the old Reebok pumps. So you used to pump them up like... They were awesome. But this is cool. So back when I was in high school, back to the story. I'm in high school, we had a priest come to our parish, brand new priest. His big focus was, hey, we need more priests. So he said, if anybody knows, anybody from this parish or your family or your friends that would be a good priest, invite them. About 50 people came up to me and said, hey, TJ, we think Father was talking about you. We think he's talking about you to be a priest. I'm like, dude, there it is again. It's like the bubblegum is stuck on my shoe. But the more that it happened, the more that people would ask, hey, TJ, you think about being a priest? TJ, you think about being a priest? I started to realize that maybe, possibly, God was using those people to talk to me. And that maybe God was using them to say, hey, this is where I'm asking you to be. This is what I'm calling you to do. So here I was, senior in high school, wrestling with this whole, man, being a priest, is that something I want to do? I started to get a lot less, oh no, I don't want to do it, and started to be, yeah, maybe. Maybe that is the way God's calling me to be. So I go to college, I chose the University of St. Thomas. Anybody ever heard of the University of St. Thomas? Few of you graduates attending there? You're going to go there? You're a student there now, UST. Go UST. I went to the University of St. Thomas because I loved the Catholic identity. And at the time, we had 20 priests that were living on the campus. We had Mass 4 times a day, 7:15, 11, 12, 30, 5, 30 p.m. There's some times in college I went to Mass more than once a day, too. But I would go to Mass at least once a day most of my college career because I realized how awesome it was to be at Mass. And when I would miss Mass for some reason, if I had a test or studying or I was sick, I would feel like there's some part of my day that's missing. I feel like something's empty. And it was that experience of being at the University of St. Thomas, of learning about theology, learning more about God's love, studying the scripture, going to Mass every day, that I realized that maybe God was putting something special on my heart. And instead of saying, no, God, that's not what I want to do, I started to say, God, if that's your will for me, I'm going to listen. So I graduated from college. I took a job working in youth ministry. I worked as a youth minister at St. John Vianney for a few years. And I was continuing to discern the call. God was placing this on my heart. And God was saying, I'm inviting you to follow me. I decided to enter the seminary in 2003 because I felt like I couldn't get any further with my discernment about being a priest than actually going to seminary. And then, this is where the story gets real fun. Thanksgiving break, first year seminary. A friend of mine from another parish who's a volunteer, really good volunteer, good friend, she sent me a letter. And she said, TJ, I wanted to tell you something, but I didn't want to be the reason you didn't go to seminary. She said, I have really, really strong feelings for you. And if you ever want to leave seminary, I'd be interested in pursuing a relationship with you. I'm like, dude, where did this come from? Like my whole life up until that point had been God placing this call of priesthood on my heart. God saying, hey, follow me. God saying, hey, I think I want you to be a priest. He was putting all these people in my life. Hey, be a priest, be a priest. And I ran from it for a long time. And then all of a sudden, there's a different option. What I realized was that God was giving me a choice. And God gives every one of us a choice of how we can follow Him. And what He does is He gives us some really good options. God says, you can serve me by being a priest, by giving your life in service to the church, or you can serve your life in this really, really good way of being a dad, of being a father, of being a husband, and being married. It was tough. It was tough for about a year trying to figure out what I was going to do. Because when I searched my feelings, I realized that I deeply cared for her. And I think that if I would have left seminary, I think I could have married her and we'd have been really happy. And I think I'd have been a really good dad. But it was through discernment, it was through that call, it was through a lot of prayer saying, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? You're giving me these two really good options. It was so painful. The day that I told her, I'm staying. I'm going to be a priest. And I appreciate your feelings for me, and I really adore you too. But the way that I can be the happiest is by being a priest of Jesus Christ. That was painful, man. Golly, she cried and cried, and I cried and cried. But I knew that I was doing what God was calling me to do. That in order for me to live out my holiness in the best way, it was to be a priest of Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything more fulfilling than I can do with my life than serving him as a priest. I can't think of anything more rewarding or fulfilling or hopeful that I can do than being a priest. And I know that God has placed the gifts and talents and abilities in me so that I could be the best priest possible. I would not be as good at anything else as I am at being a priest. And that's because this is how God formed me and how he shaped me. When it comes to vocations, all of us are called to something special. First of all, we're all called to holiness, but we're all called to something else too. So there's a way that God has on each one of your hearts that this is the best way that you can serve me. This is the best way that you can live out your lives. And what we have to do is we have to be open and say, God, I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to accept the invitation of whatever it is that you're asking me to do that I can be most fulfilled in my life. And for each and every one of us, it's something different. Some of us might be called to be a priest. Some of the young women in here might be called to be a sister or a nun. Some of us in here might be called to single life. The majority of the people in this room are going to be called to married life. I'd ask that if that is your calling in life, marry the right person. Marry the person that's going to help you be a better person. There are way too many times as a priest that I minister to people whose spouse does not make them a better person. But they'll say, but I love them so much. They make me feel so special. The question you have to ask yourself is, if you're called to marriage, is this person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with going to make me a better person? That's the key question. Because if we're not a better person, we're not growing in holiness. And that is the primary call. So my prayer goes with you. I mean, I know that you came in here today to find out, well, let's see, vocations, and it's really cleverly worded in the brochure about the ingredients that go into making a good vocation, a little pinch of God and a little dash of the Holy Spirit. The key is to pray. The key is to say, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? How can I be happiest? How can I best serve you? And for each one of us, it's different. For me, it's being a priest, Jesus Christ, of laying down my life in service to the Lord. When I was ordained a priest, this is part of the rite of ordination. Has anybody ever been to an ordination of a priest? Okay. This is probably the moment that people remember the most. It's at this moment that the men that are called the priesthood lay down on the ground. I don't know, you guys know which one's me? I've changed a lot in 5 years, I know, but can you tell just from our head? It's me here, the one closest to the picture, the most camera. This is me. I'm laying down the day I'm ordained, probably the best day of my life. And all of the people in the church are praying for us. Praying that we may be worthy ministers to bring Jesus to people. It's also during this moment that we're singing the litany of saints, that we're asking all the angels and saints to pray for us. I had a powerful experience during this part of the prayer that all of the angels and saints were laying their hands on me, strengthening me, giving me love and hope for the journey. There's also a very special reason that we lay down on the ground like this. And that's because it looks like we're doing what? Not sleeping, but we're prostrating. But that means what? Prostrating is a sign of not sleeping. What? Okay, well, respect, but I'm looking for what's it a sign of? Like, if we're laying down on the ground for the rest of eternity, we're what? Yes? Submission. Submission, okay, well, it's submission, but we're death. It's about dying. It's about we are saying we are dying so that we can live with the Lord. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful moment. If you ever go to an ordination, that's the time that you're going to see people most often finding the tissues and the Kleenexes, because it's so powerful, it's so emotional, because the guys that are getting ordained to the priesthood are saying, I am dying to my own wills, my own desires, and I'm going to follow you. This is real. This is really real. This is us saying, God, I'm following you. Now, is this tough? Is it tough to be a priest? Yeah, it is. How about the call to celibacy? Is that tough? People ask me that all the time. Is it hard not being married? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's hard not having somebody that's there with you on your journey all the time that you can talk to and they'll talk back to you. Certainly we have that with God and prayer and love, but with another human being there that can actually respond by their voice. It is tough. It's painful, but I have a great blessing in my life because I have a chance to spend time with my niece and my nephew. This right here is my niece. Aww. She turns one on Tuesday. Last year when she was born, my brother and sister-in-law brought her out to my parish, and I got to baptize her. It was one of the coolest moments so far in my priesthood, was baptizing my niece, bringing her into the waters of faith. So it's hard not having my own family, but I get to be a part of my nieces and nephews' lives. My nephew up here was born 7 years ago. I'm his godfather. He's going to be in second grade next year, which is what year? What happens in second grade? First communion. I get to give my nephew his first communion next year. That's going to be awesome. So celibacy is hard. Not being married is hard. But I do have the great blessings of having my family around to be a part of their lives. I also have the great blessing of people call me father, because I'm their father, their spiritual father. So I have a lot of children, a lot of kids that I get to help on their journey and to help them grow. And I get to be inspired by what I see. Sacrament of Holy Orders. This is the moment in the sacrament or the ritual where, you know, we become priests. The cardinal lays his hands on the guys to be ordained. And it's when I was ordained, this moment of my ordination, there was this calm and serenity that just enveloped me. And it was the confirmation that I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. God said, this is why I created you. This is why I made you. This is why I had you go through all of the struggles that you went through your life, so that you can be a priest, so that you can follow me. I hope and pray that each one of you find whatever it is that God's calling you to do. I don't have that answer. I don't know what He's calling each of you to do, but He does. And the way that you can follow that will is by praying, by being open to Him, to say, God, I'm going to do whatever it is that you're asking me to do. If you are called to be a priest, if you are called to be a sister or a nun, I'm here to help. This is my plug as vocation director. Right? If you have that call in your heart and you feel God's calling you to be a priest or a sister or a nun, let my office know. I'll put you in place. I'll put you in touch with the right people. I'll help you on your journey to help you discern. If God's calling you to married life or single life, pray for you in that. Pray that the right person is the person that you choose to spend the rest of your life with, so that you can grow in holiness, because that is the fundamental call that all of us have, the call to holiness. You guys want to know what happened the rest of the story, the prom story? You want to hear what happened? Especially since we have our special visitor here, and share her side of the story as well if she wants. So here it was, prom. I was invited to prom. I was upset. I'm driving home. I'm mad. I'm upset. I'm ticked off. Why did that happen? I'm running late. I had to get, now I'm all sweaty. I'm gross. I got paint on my clothes. I got paint still on the car and between my fingernails. And then I realized, well, this is dumb. Why am I so mad about it? They weren't intending to make me this angry. They were trying to have fun. So you know what I decided to do? I decided to have fun. April 16th, guess where I was? I was at prom. I showed up, and there's Claire. There's Claire. Claire's here today. And then her friends Yvonne and Kaylee, that were the ones who actually did the painting. So was that all I did to you, Claire? Oh, wait. No, that's not. That's right. That's not. I decided to still have some more fun with it. The next time I celebrated Mass at her school, I sent her brother some posters to put on her car. This one says, God's awesome daughter, points to where she drives, where she sits. And then on the side here, this one says, Jesus loves Claire. Does Claire love Jesus? And then on the back window, it had a sign that said, Mass today, 11:30. Hope to see you there. And she did. She showed up that day for Mass. So it was pretty cool. So I had a decision to make. How am I going to respond to that invitation? We have a decision to make how we're going to respond to God's invitation. God calls us. How do we answer? How do we answer Him? I hope and pray that all of you have the courage to answer God in the way that He's calling you. He loves you. He loves you, and He knows what's going to make you happiest, how you're going to grow in holiness, how you are going to faithfully follow after Him. Some of us in this room, once again, might be called to be priests or nuns. And if you are, I ask you to be open to that call. Be open to how God is placing that on your heart so that you can faithfully